Lord, we just love you tonight because we know, Jesus, that you are in control. We know, Lord, that every human being has an angel assigned to him, Lord, and that we are not just a mass in your sight, Lord, but every person is under angelic supervision. And Lord, you know what's going to come to pass. And your angels have been charged. It says he shall give his angels charge over thee. And Lord, we know that we're under your divine protection. And Lord, we don't particularly want to die, but neither do we fear it, Lord. We want to serve you. How wonderful. How wonderful to know, Lord, that we don't have to panic, that our loved ones are under your care. We're under your care. Paradise is certainly better than this place. Praise your name. But Lord, yet we want to serve you and our own generation. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood of the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes we were healed, that you died for sinners, that you are in control of this world. Hallelujah. That you are in control. Lord, bless your name. Be with the people tonight in the Middle East, Lord. As so many children, women, older people, Lord, are in tragedy and young men are dying. We pray, Lord, your presence will be there. We pray, Lord, that you will be among those people, Lord, that they may come to know you as their Savior and Lord. Be real, Lord, where there is tragedy, a very present help in time of trouble. Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. Help us, Lord, in America, Lord, to get down to business, to quit wasting time, and to make every day count, Lord, to make every day as though it were our last, Lord, and not to live any different if we knew it were our last. Help us, Lord, to mean business with God and not to play church games or to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Help us to be what we should be so that we need never fear, Lord, of catastrophe, but our hearts are fixed, trusting in you. Hallelujah. Bless each family represented here with salvation. Forgive our many sins, Lord, as we freely forgive others, Lord, who sin against us. And grant, Lord, that this night your Spirit will communicate to each one of us that which we have need of in this hour, Lord. Right now, Lord. Help us, for we trust wholly in you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And everyone say, amen. All right. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 62. Just heard, Brother Olofsson, that there's a revival among the young people in Iceland. A number of them, I got a letter from Grinny. And I think just recently 17 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And now they want to start a church in the suburbs of Reykjavik. There's 25,000 people live just outside of Reykjavik. So they're holding tent meetings there. And Grinny, the girl, is going door to door with a team doing evangelistic work. So that's the latest from the Gislasons. Revival in Iceland. And also, he said, the worst economic recession in Iceland's history as present now. Yeah. So everybody isn't having it that easy. All right, let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 of Isaiah 62. Here we go. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Now, that's what I wish to talk about a little bit tonight. is the perfecting of the church. Now, when we hear the good reports of the evangelism and the aggressive evangelism, the aggressive going out, it's wonderful, and we know that God is in it, and we know that God is leading. And I want to talk, though, on something a little different, that the mind of the Lord is on very much today, very much, and that is the perfecting of His church. Because when He gets His church perfected, a lot of the things that people are trying to do will come about naturally. See, what happens is that people go out and people get saved, and we have churches full of saved people, but then the church itself is corrupt. And so they become disillusioned, or they go into the money market, and the church, the evangelist brings forth, but the church is not bringing people up to the standards of God's holiness. And so the witness has been lost in the United States in our condition as apostate. People are being saved and people being helped. Thank God for everyone. But what God is concerned about is the perfecting of His church. Praise the Lord. He's concerned about a lot of things, but He's concerned about the perfecting of His church. And if we get a chance tonight, we'll talk about the stages that God is going to go through to perfect His church. He is going to perfect it. It's not a lost cause. And you notice in this passage, for Zion's sake, that is, for the church's sake, the prophet says, in the Spirit of Christ and the prophet, will I not hold my peace? And for Jerusalem's sake, that is, for the people of God, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness. Now, when the anointing comes on the people of the Lord, this is one of the primary burdens. It's for the church. See, he says, I will not rest until the righteousness, that is of the church, the righteousness, the right behavior of the people. See, it's one thing to get people saved, and it's another thing to change their character. See? So that they become the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And that's the need of the hour. And he said, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the natural consequence always follows. And the Gentile shall see thy righteousness. The world today is waiting to see the righteousness of God in the behavior of God's people. See, evangelism is one thing. And aggressive evangelism is necessary and is good. But what the world is waiting to see is a church that is in unity with itself, that is in union with God through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And the Gentiles, that always follows. You build up the church and you bring people. See, the Lord, when the church was in one accord, it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So when we're talking about the righteousness of the church, we're not talking about saying, well, the world, you know, we don't care what happens to the world. We're saying that in God's order, if you build up the church, if the people of the church get converted, which they have not been. See, the Lord said to Peter that when you are converted, do you know why he said that to Peter? He said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Do you know why the Lord said that to Peter? What the background of that is? Anybody? How many remember that when the Lord said that to Peter? Peter, I have prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. How many know the background of that verse? The disciples of Jesus were arguing among themselves about who should be the greatest. Right? They're arguing. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, were arguing among themselves. Already, self-love and self-seeking had come in even before Jesus was crucified. And Peter and James and John and the others were in an argument. And Jesus overheard it. And he says, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brother, because he knew that the only way that God can get that self-seeking out of us is suffering. And he knew that Peter was going to suffer because Peter was ambitious. And that's one thing why I kind of rejoice. I do not rejoice at people's pain or at their suffering. But unless God does something to our nation, the church of our generation is a lost church. It's a lost church. It's a lost generation because of the self-seeking and the love of money. By the way, Ole, can you hear me? Can you hear what I'm saying clearly? The reason that Grinney wrote to me is this. He said, we have a new doctrine that has come into Iceland, which is that if we have faith, that we all have all these wonderful things, and no one can be sick, and if he's sick, it's because he has sin, and no one will die before he's 70 if he has faith. And he says, I don't think it's biblical, but I wanted to know your opinion. He said, because the people here are ignorant, and they believe what they're told. Oh, that pernicious thing. When writing back, I told him, I said, you shall not preach in Philadelphia that everyone shall be rich and never get sick. Now, I said, the first time I heard that doctrine, which was in Illinois, as they're preaching there in a church in Illinois, the first time I heard it was in that church, and I preached against it so hard I got a sore throat and came home sick. It is Antichrist is what it is. And I wrote to Grinney that it is Antichrist. And but you see, most Americans are still hung up in that, and God's going to take us away and so on. And the churches have got all this self-seeking. And see, the righteousness is not going forth. So Christ is mute. You see, Christ has made himself dumb. We are his voice. He will not come and preach the gospel. He will not allow angels to do it. And so he is stuck with what we say in his name. And sometime back down the trail, I got a phone call from a man in great distress. He was weeping because his wife had left him and had taken the daughters, taken this man's daughter. Did I tell you that last week? I don't think so. But I want to tell you this because it reveals the situation the church is in. And why it's so important that the church gets straightened out. And this guy, so this woman took his daughters, and then she got attached to a Christian man. Now, there's been no divorce, no formal separation. I don't know if there's even been a formal separation. But anyway, this man called me up weeping. He said, my wife is with a Christian man, has my girls. And so I call up the pastor of the church where they attend. And I explained to him, now if I had done this, I would be in adultery. And my wife is in adultery. And she has taken my girls. Can you help me? And do you know what the pastor's response was? He said, why can't you forgive her? Now, the man was weeping when he called me because what he saw was the loss of his little girls, his wife marrying a Christian, the church putting the blessing of God upon the marriage, and here he's left holding the bag. He's got nothing. He doesn't have God's blessing, the blessing of the church, his girls, or anything. And as I was outraged. I was outraged when I heard that, and I counseled him. He does not attend POW at all. And I said, God will judge your wife, and God will judge that so-called pastor. And then as I was meditating on it later, I thought, Jesus, how you must feel. Because, see, this man, not being that strong a Christian, took that as the word of Jesus Christ because a pastor had said it. Do you see? Why it is necessary that the church reflect Christ correctly, because it's all that the world has. And what is the church saying about Jesus when the minister comes through and says, if you're sick, you have committed sin, it's not God's will. Do you see that? So it isn't enough for us just to go and get souls saved. After they get saved, the church must show forth righteousness. See, it was a question of equity, of righteousness. this pastor that he called, if he'd have called this pastor, I'd like to go out and do personal work. Wonderful! That's the Great Commission! But you see, people's lives every day are faced with problems of equity. And if the church doesn't show forth righteousness, then nothing has been done. Children have been born into the kingdom for what end? God's will is not being done, don't you see? So what he's saying here and what the Spirit of God is saying is, do not give God any rest until righteousness come in, and because the church is the only light of the world, don't you see? And what God wants is his church established. Now, we spoke last week about the church and the world. I spoke that here last week, didn't I? The church and the world. And I want to go on with that tonight, as God will, just for a few moments, on just now on his plan for perfecting the church. All right, now the diagram that God has given us is the tabernacle of the congregation. And there was an outer court which represents everyone who is in that area is saved. Out here is outer darkness, including the lake of fire and Tartarus, which is mentioned in Peter. The angels that sinned were cast down to Tartarus. Hades, which we call hell, Tartarus, and the lake of fire, are not within the area of the saved. They are outside where there is spiritual darkness. Now, there are, as we said, three primary groups of people throughout the ages to come, beginning now. And by the way, the reason why he's talking about the millennium now, the things I say are going to be in the millennium, is because when God changes from one epoch to another, he doesn't go ding and everything changes. See, we're people, and we are now in a time of transition from the church age to the kingdom age. And see, you go look back through church history, there's always a period of transition. And so there will be some dramatic things happen, like the Lord's coming, but the Spirit cast the shadow beforehand. So things that will be more true in the millennium than they are now already are casting their shadow backward. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like the two witnesses, Caleb and Joshua, going into the land and bringing back the fruit of the land before they went into the land. And that's what's happening today. See, that accounts for that fact that you'll hear the verses I'm applying in the millennium also apply today because we are so near. We are in a transition time. All right, so there are three primary groups, I told you, and not two. Not the saved and the lost. What are the three primary groups? Anyone remember? Poor teacher. All right, let's look at it like this. Here's the tabernacle building itself. And it was divided in two parts. And this whole area here is the church. Now, everyone within the larger rectangle is saved, but not everyone who is saved is in the church. And if you weren't here, you can get the tape from last Sunday. There's Friday night or last Sunday morning. There's an abundance of scripture to that effect. Isaiah chapters 60 and 61 are to that effect. And Zechariah, the last chapter, and so on, where in Revelation 21 and 22, where you see the nations of saved people coming to the church to be blessed. So you have three primary groups of people, not the saved and the lost, but the church, the saved nations, and the lost. And without that, Isaiah will not make any sense at all. All right, so here you have your saved nations. And the church is the kingdom of God that rules the other kingdoms on the earth. Now, are there any other kingdoms on the earth? When the church is ruling in the ages to come, are there any other kingdoms? See, we don't even realize that. Brother Robbins, that's so plain in the Bible that it's just child's play, and yet God's people are totally ignorant. That's why we don't understand the prophets. We don't understand what it's talking about. We think the church is saved to go up to heaven to enjoy the view. That isn't why we've been saved. We've been saved to be a kingdom of priests to rule the nations of the earth. It's all full of Isaiah. It's in Revelation 21 and 22. The new Jerusalem doesn't stay up in heaven. It comes down to earth to rule the earth. It's the light of the world. We're not being saved to go up to heaven to enjoy the view. That's the most basic concept of the kingdom of God. I don't know whether it's just because God's revealing it at the end time or why everybody doesn't know it, but boy, we better start knowing it, because you can't understand the book of Isaiah without it. It makes no sense. Why? What's the purpose of the church? See, we think the purpose of the church is so that we'll be saved and go to heaven. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is so that the nations of the earth can be saved. You don't look very much, you're very impressed. Well, if you don't believe me, open up the book of Isaiah, and the first thing you'll find in the second chapter is the nation shall say, let us go up, and the Lord will teach us of his ways. Well, there's nations. Does it say in Revelation 21 that there are any other nations on the earth beside the kingdom of God, the New Jerusalem? Huh? Does it say the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor unto it? Doesn't it say that? Well, there can't be kings without kingdoms. The kingdom of God is the church, and it is the ruling kingdom of the age to come. Now, does the Bible say we are being made kings and priests? Well, over what? Over the angels in heaven? Does it say that the overcomers will rule the nations with a rod of iron? Well, that's not talking about now. So obviously there's nations. There's nations of saved people. Who are all these, when the light arises on the church, who are all these people that run to the light, says the multitude shall, the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee? What's it talking about? You were not saved for the purpose of going to heaven and enjoying the view. That was not why God saved you. You were not saved because you're better than other people and they were naughty and you were nice. Your name was written down by the Lord God Almighty before he created the earth. The church is an elect body brought into being by the foreknowledge and predestination of the God of heaven. We know we're not predestined to be saved. We were predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus that we might be his brothers. Romans chapter 8, nowhere will you see it says we're predestined to be saved. We are not predestined to be saved. We are predestined to be the members of God's elect, his church. The word church means called out. Does that mean that the other people are damned because they're not called out? No, it means that the purpose of these 2,000 years has been to bring out unto Christ a body. For what purpose? So that Christ might have a train, a fullness, and that God could live in this fullness and wipe away the tears of men. We have been saved to be the light of God in the world. Not in heaven, but in the world. Praise the Lord. Now, we are not saved by chance. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus said, you are not of the world. If you were of the world would love you. You are not of the world, but I have called you out of the world. Now, you'll never find that Jesus has called us out of the world to be saved. He has called us out of the world that we might be one with Him in order that the world might believe. John 17, verse 23. See? We were not called out of the world to go to heaven. We were not called out of the world to be saved. We were called out of the world that we might become one with one another and with Jesus as He is one with God in order that the world might believe. John chapter 17 verses 21 through 23. Therefore, you are not someone kind of mucking around and playing church games so that you can go to heaven. That is not what Christianity is all about. You were called before you were born. You are the elect of God. Your name was in the Lamb's Book of Life to be a member of the church, the called out of God. And every moment of your life is to be a training session because God is training you to show forth His glory forever and forever. Your main role is not in this life. It is in the ages to come. But in order to attain your destiny in the ages to come, you must be utterly faithful with the little responsibilities today. If you are not faithful today, you will not be faithful then, and you will blow your election. It's possible to do that. If we don't bear fruit, we're cut out of the vine. The vine is Messiah, the church, the body. It is not of the world. You are not of the world, as I am not of the world. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about the elect, the church. Salvation is another issue. Salvation has to do with people's recognition of Christ in you. If you read the 25th chapter of Matthew, here's Jesus and all the nations. And He determines which nation shall go into the tormenting fire and which nation shall go into life eternal. Those are the terms used. Matthew chapter 25. He does not say unto these nations, because you believe that I am God's Son, because you believe I am born of a virgin, because you believe I died for your sins, that's the sheep nations. That's not the basis of judgment. What is the basis of judgment? How you treated the Lord's brothers. I, speaking of Himself, not criminals, I was in jail. He wasn't in jail for a crime. He was in jail in a brother who was being persecuted. See? I, speaking of myself, the church, my brethren, I was sick. It depended on how the nations treated the Lord's brothers. Not whether they believed in the atonement or the resurrection. And because they gave a cup of cold water to his brethren or visited them in prison, he says, come into life eternal. The kingdom prepared for you. Prepared for who? Not for his brethren. For the nations. There was the nations before him, not individuals, but the nations of the earth. Is that right? That's the subject of the prophets. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the church. It is the ruling kingdom that will rule all the other nations on the earth. Now that's why we have been called out from this world. And that's why we suffer as we do. Not because God doesn't know what He's doing or because whatever. It is a training. And everything that has happened to us is a training so that we will be converted and not be arguing about who's the greatest. And so that we'll cease from sin. And so that we will glorify God in the day of visitation. That is when God comes and the nations see His glory, that they will see a church without spot or wrinkle, and they will glorify God. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works. Not our talk, not our preaching. There's abundance of that, and thank God it's necessary. But what the world is waiting to see is a church with righteousness coming out of it. He says that when we're one, when we're united, and God gives you the glory, and your light goes forth, the world will believe, the nations will come. It's full of Ezekiel. It says the waters will come out from the church and go out into all the world, and every place that it goes, the waters will live. We're being made trees of life so that people, and yes, it's true today. Yes, it is true today, don't you see? It is true today. But today we have it on a smaller scale to see if we're going to be faithful. Because if you read in Revelation 22, 5, this is what it says. And his servant shall see his face, and they shall reign forever. We are going to rule the works of God's hands forever and ever and ever. World without end. Age without end. The greatest need in the world today is for righteous government. And that is what God is creating. Praise the Lord. And you're it. You're it. You haven't called up to heaven to enjoy the view and eat cherry pie. You have been called because the peoples of the earth are in darkness. And this ministry starts today. We minister as God leads because we're learning. We're in an embryonic stage. We're learning. But we are the rulers of the age to come and the judge of men and angels. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. Know you not that the world shall be judged by you. You shall judge angels. 1 Corinthians 6. We shall judge the world. We shall judge angels. We are being made, provided we learn our lessons. And that's what overcome means. It doesn't mean you're a super Christian. It means merely that you haven't been defeated. That's all overcoming means. If you're not a super Christian or a hero, it merely means you weren't defeated. Praise the Lord. It's the norm. Okay, now, praise God. All right? All right. All right. Now, we have in Revelation 5:27, Ephesians 5:27, Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. This is speaking of Jesus. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So you see, there's a church within the church. When Christ gets this real ruling body ready, it will be perfect. He's not going to compromise and say, well, they're the best I can get them to this point, so let them rule. No. He has quality control. He knows exactly where he's going. Praise the Lord. And we can be in it if we want to. Ephesians 4:13, till we all. Now, this I'm not going to get to it tonight. I see from my time. But let me give you the punch of where we're going tonight. Before God is finished, every one of his elect will be perfect. Now, the only way if you are of God's elect and have been called of God, the only way that you can lose it is by not laboring to make your calling and election sure. You can lose your crown. It is possible. If you do not bear fruit, you will be pruned out of the vine. John chapter 15. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. If you're taken out of the vine, I don't say you'll be lost, but I'll tell you this, you will not be a member of the church. Because every member of the church shall be made perfect. However, God has an orderly program for accomplishing this, and it will begin with the first fruits. The scripture by precept and by type shows that he will perfect the church by beginning with the first fruits represented by the Holy of Holies. And I have to give you this whole picture real fast, but this is a temporary arrangement. It is temporary. And when the church has been perfected, the mighty men of the Lord will become part of the church so that the church will be a whole. Did you get that concept? Because it's not always preached that way. It's preached many times that there's these sons of God or something that are something above the church and they'll always be above the church. That's not true. You see, once David went out and slew Goliath, and David there is a type of the Lord's first fruits, He came back, he became a part of Israel. Gideon went out, won a great battle, came back and became part of Israel. And so this division of the Lord's body is temporary. You can think of it in this way, that you can picture a human body that is bound with ropes, and it begins to writhe and struggle, and it gets its hands free. You can think of the hands as being the overcomers. Then the hands begin to untie the rest of the body, and then the hands no longer are separate from the body. But it is a function of time. In other words, the first fruits will be those who come into the perfection prior to the church for the sake of helping the church, and the time is now. And that means that those whom God has called out now, we must be ready to be just so obedient and so wrapped up in Christ that we can avail ourselves of this tremendous challenge, which is to be a first fruits of the church, which itself is a first fruits of God's creation, according to the first chapter of James. And if you see that vision, you'll never complain again. You never say, "Oh God, why me?" People call me up on the phone. They say, "Why me?" Or, "I'm being ripped to shreds." That's the truth. And the thing is, this is what the Lord says. Is the kingdom worth it? So get your eyes off of your self-pity and how bad it is. Get your eyes off of yourself. It'll only get worse. As long as you look at yourself, it'll get worse and worse till you're whining and whining and crying and bawling about what's happening to you. You'll whine yourself out of the kingdom. Quit your whining. Stand up and say, "God, this is worth it if this is what you've called me to. If you've called me to be a first fruits of the first fruits of the rulers of God's creation, and you, and if this is what the Bible teaches, and it is true," and there's a lot that we certainly can't go into tonight that indicates that this is the case, this Gideon's army, this first fruits, then what is suffering? And isn't that what Paul said? "I count not the sufferings of this present time worthy to be compared." And if you go comparing it and say, "Ain't it awful, it's so terrible, you know what I've been through this week? Man, you wouldn't believe what has happened to me. Why me?" You're on the wrong tack. Just say, "I know that I'm still unconverted inside. I know there's still sin. I know there's self-seeking. And this is God's way of creating patience and creating kingliness and compassion and strength so that my mountain won't be moved. This is the way of God's way of creating strength in me to make me impregnable to assault, to deception. This is God. This is God's goodness to me." Well, I don't say that you're going to go out skipping and dancing, but you'll be able to bear it for the next 5 minutes. And that's something, because they only come 5 minutes at a time. You can make it if you realize what's happening. If you set the joy before you, you can endure the cross. If you say there's a method in this, there's a purpose in this, God hasn't just left me. He's really working with me and dealing with me. And you know, just don't take everything laying down. Pray and say, "God, if this is not you, I rebuke the thing in Jesus' name." You know, don't go to sleep on the job. But if after having done all, stand, because God is making something from you, there's going to be terrific demands made on you in the future. You're going to be ruling with a rod of iron. That's not patty cake. That's not churchy patty cake. Pity poo, baker's man, bake as many as you can. That's what the current thing sounds like. Roll them and bake them and bake them. That's what it sounds like in church. God is creating mighty men, people who will stand in their place and they can anchor the work of God. And boy, you don't make those kind of people with Jell-O and whipped cream. They're people who have got to learn how to trust God, you know, when the pavement's rushing up to meet you. This is no funny. This is real stuff. This isn't doctrine. We're talking about where the world is headed and what the provision that God has made. And we are that provision, just like Joseph was. And if you'll think of Joseph's life, you'll realize Joseph was not a whiner. You know, "Why me? Ah, why me?" He just kept his mouth shut and did the best he could while he was in prison. And in God's time came, he was a ruler. He wasn't a prisoner when he got out. He wasn't a prisoner at heart. He was a ruler at heart. And when he came out, he was ready to rule, even though he was a king in prison, just like a manacled Christ. He never became a prisoner just because he was in prison. And we don't have to become a prisoner just because we're in prison. We remain a king. And God has called us to be a king and a priest of the Most High God, a son of God. And so we walk upright in the prison. We strengthen our feeble knees and we stand up like a son of God and we ask no pity from anyone. We go to God and we don't expect fair play. We go to God and we rest our case with Him. That's right. And if we get unfair play, consider Christ and the abuse that was heaped on Him. It doesn't matter how we're treated. It matters only that Jesus is glorified in us and that we are on track with Him in terms of our destiny. I mean, if it's to be a doorkeeper in some tent, praise the Lord. If it's to wait on the Lord's tables, hallelujah. And if it's to reign over nations, it doesn't matter, just as long as He's pleased. That's all. But the higher your building's going to go, the deeper the foundation's going to be dug. Just remember that. So whatever structure God's going to put above ground, there's going to be years for every inch that's coming above ground. There's going to be years getting those roots down so that you'll stand and not fall. When you are converted, strengthen your brother. Praise the Lord. So God is going somewhere. He's got a technique, a plan, a program. So you notice in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come, there's going to be part of the church that doesn't make it. All of the elect, except, as I say, those who refuse to go God's way, even if they die weak, you know, the elect are going to be made perfect. Till we all come. That's the word. It cannot be changed. The Bible is the mind of Christ. It cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. Every word of it. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. You see how today, how far we are from this? And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. It's a single organism. And that man is Messiah, and Jesus is the head. It's not perfect men. We do never lose our identity, but we do lose our individuality. Remember that. That's the hardest thing, is to lose your individuality. We want to be individuals. Bless God. Look at me, you know. Christ is not looking for individuality. You can't keep it and be a part of the body of Christ. You keep your identity, but never your individuality. Marriage, by definition, means a loss of individuality. And because people today have been taught in schools that individuality is essential to a human being and self-fulfillment, the marriages cannot stand. Because a marriage, by definition, is a loss of individuality, is it not? Is a marriage two individuals? I don't know what the Bible says. The two shall be one! That's a loss of individuality. Not identity. Not identity. But individuality. It's essential to the kingdom, see? As long as we are self-seeking, we can't make a marriage work, and we can't make the kingdom of God work, because, you see, we're trying to, I've got my rights, eh? I was telling the church a funny little thing. I was meditating on this, and God gave me the most graphic example you could imagine. I was meditating on this individuality thing, and I was at a store, and there was a lady ahead of me and a man Justin had a bay, and the lady ahead of him, and she was being waited on, and she was telling the cashier, who also was a lady, about her husband. And she says, you know, my husband tells me what to wear. He tells me when to go out and when to come in and everything. And she was a little thing. She was prancing around there, and she didn't look sad about this at all. And she said, well, goodbye, and she pranced out with her groceries. And here, this poor dominated little soul, her husband was telling her to do this and do the next thing and everything. And I was taking this in, and then, so the man was next in line in front of me, and I mean, this cashier, I don't know what her problem was, but she turned and unloaded on this man. She says, no man's gonna tell me nothing. She stood there, and and you know what she said? And here I'm meditating on it, and she says, I'm an individual. She says, no man's gonna tell me. And I compared those two women. The one was happy, and the other one, kind of things do tempt you to come out with that kind of thing. I thought, keep your individuality. But this little one that pranced out the door, she had a husband that cared so much about her, what she wore, what she did, where she went, and she didn't seem to be particularly bothered about it. But it bothered this other woman for some reason. You could probably figure out why. So
wonderful. The Lord is making not perfect men. And that's one of the dangers of the overcoming life, is we get a bunch of perfect men. He's making a perfect man. And you see, the Lord's train fills his temple. Guess what that train is? Us. Us. We're the Lord's train. Praise the Lord. So that when the Lord Jesus lost his individuality with the Father. Never his identity, but his individuality. Am I right? Did I tell you this last week? Some of you look, I told you this last week, didn't I? Brother Olson remembers it. Did I tell you this last week? Joan, did I tell you? A week before last, I told you. Try to think of Jesus without the Father. Can you think of Jesus without the Father? Can you think of the Father without Jesus? Pretty hard, isn't it? The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath the Father also. You see, they have lost their individuality in this respect, that they have consented, the Father and the Son, to a perfect union. They're in a perfect union. And so, we never did get to see Jesus when he was on earth. We never got to see him. Because he didn't speak his words. He spoke the Father's words. He didn't do his works. He did the Father's works. We don't know what he liked or what he didn't like, because he spent his whole life just showing us the Father. Is that right? Either, why do you say show me the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. That's a loss of individuality. Isn't it? He didn't say, you've seen me and now I'll tell you about the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See? And yet Jesus is unique. He has identity. Now where, we see one place in the Gospels where the two are distinct. Where's that? Only one place that I know of in the Gospels do we see them distinctly separated. In Gethsemane. See? Not my will. Thine be done. See the two persons there? Right? Not my will. That's the individual Jesus. See? Oh God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Thine be done. And then after that prayer, he once again became one with God, because it says that that was an offering up of God in Christ, see, giving himself for our sins. The Sermon on the Mount was not the sermon of Jesus. That those are the words of God the Creator. See? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. How about the Apostle Paul? Did he maintain his individuality? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, no longer am I living. But Christ is living in me. And so what we're coming up to is a perfect man. And when every one of the elect, and I couldn't get into the process tonight other than to tell you, it will start with the first fruits. It just wasn't time to get into all the types. It's a long thing, and we'll get into it as quickly as we can. But there's a definite progress of the kingdom of God. It started with Jesus. See, the kingdom of God starts in the Holy of Holies, most holy place. Then with the first fruits that will become part of that number. Then it will extend to the whole church, will be set free by God working through these hands, this right arm of the Lord, these first fruits, shown in type clearly in the Bible, especially in the separation of the Ark of the Covenant from the tabernacle, if you know that part of history. And then, what will God do? Now, God is going to bring his church, as it says, well, in Hebrews 8:11, they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, for all shall know me. See? Song of Solomon, chapter 8, tells us that the little sisters will be built up. What should we do with our little sister? We're going to build her up. The Palace of Silver, Song of Solomon. It doesn't say who the we are. See? We shall enclose her in boards of cedar. See, the little ones, but they're sisters. They're part of the elect. See? There's this process. See? All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. I in them, John 17:23, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's the church. It's elect. It's predestinated. It's destined to be perfect. You had a question, sister? Do you want to know? You can read it in the last few verses of the 8th chapter, and it says Solomon had a vineyard and he wanted 1,000 shekels for it, and he had people working for them and they wanted 300 shekels for their job. And what that's talking about is there's a church that's run by money, and the people of it, all they want out of their vineyard is money. And then if you read the concluding verses, the Lord just ignores the whole thing. Did you know that? She asked a good question. Well, the Song of Solomon is about the difference between the church and the church. Let me read you those last couple verses and you'll see what I'm saying. All right, in the 8th chapter, the Song of Solomon, if you have to leave, like someone said recently, if your roast is burning, stay and listen to the word. When you go home, offer up your roast in the backyard as a burnt offering. All right. Now, Song of Solomon chapter 8. See, you have your bride in verse 10. See, she's fully mature. Song of Solomon 8:10. I am a wall. See, she has dominion. This is your first fruits of your church, which eventually will all be made perfect, according to Scripture. All shall know the Lord. Not all shall know the Bible, people. All shall know the Lord. We got a lot of people today that got revelation sticking out of their ears, but they don't know the Lord because they don't pray. All right, now. I am a wall and my breasts like towers. He is speaking of two things. Fruit, immense fruitfulness. And fruitfulness always brings dominion. See, fruitfulness, dominion is the natural consequence of fruitfulness. It says, I am mature. I am fruitful. I have dominion. This is the bride. See? And I was in his eyes as one that found favor. But then you back up a couple of verses, and we, who I suggest to you are, consist of the members of the bride, or the first fruits of the bride, have a little sister and she has no breasts. In other words, we have an immature a church. We have some who are not as mature, but they are God's elect. So what do we do? What shall we do in the days when she is spoken for? And brother, sister, every human being shall be spoken for in the kingdom. There shall be no more sea. That means there'll be no more undifferentiated mass of mankind. I will make a man more precious than the gold of Ophir. Every human being will be spoken for in the kingdom. Someday, you will be spoken for. Your name will come up. Not you and somebody else, not a platoon of people, you. See, in the day when she is spoken for, someday you will be spoken for. By the Lord or by someone else. All right. If she be a wall, we will build. See? Doesn't say we'll vaunt our spiritual superiority and show her that we were really the ones that are right. We will build. We will build. See, that's the idea is that when you get this fully mature bride, she has sisters and she's going to build them up. See? And then if she's a door, that is, if she can't even resist sin, but she loves the Lord and she's never let go of the Lord, but she's been awfully weak, then it's up to the bride to enclose her, the first fruits of the bride, because the whole thing is the bride. It's up to the first fruits of the elect to enclose the weak. And that's a work we can begin on today. Not despise the weak. We don't despise the weak. Man, they'll come unto you 1,000 times, they'll slip off the wagon. Get drunk again, or they'll do this and that. God, it takes the patience of Job, but God wants us in every situation that we can to help the weak and not vaunt superiority over them, but to be patient and help them. That's our role. If we're strong, if we receive the double portion, it's not so that we can go our own way, it's so that we can, the double portion brings a responsibility to the family. And if we have the anointing of God to even understand these things, then we have a terrific responsibility to the Church of God to help the little sisters. Praise the Lord. God hasn't saved us so we'll be some big stars shooting around like rockets in the heavens. He saved us. More anointing means more responsibility. Praise the Lord. Unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And you can't pick up your spiritual marbles and say, I won, and go home. Whatever God gives you, he gives you for the church and for the world. It's entrusted. What you have has been entrusted to you. That's why I say we've got to have some interesting things happen in our nation, because the American church has been entrusted with two things. One, money, which is used for the God, should be being used for the gospel and not for lust and self-aggrandizement. And two, we have been entrusted with the gifts of the Spirit, which is not true in some of the other nations. And I heard that from a man who's a world traveler in the Foursquare, an executive who said North America, he can see in his world travels, North America has been entrusted with the gifts of the Spirit, not the other nations. We've been entrusted with those two things. And brother, sister, if we use our time to build our little house and mow our little lawn, and polish our little car, when we've been entrusted, one, with the money to get the gospel out, and two, with the gifts of revelation, of teaching, of healing, of whatever God has given us, we are going to be beaten with many stripes. Because that's what the Bible says. If you knew your Lord's will and didn't prepare yourself, prepare yourself. You shall be beaten with many stripes. And we shall, our nation is, because we're using our money for entertainment, for baseball, these other abominations, and we're not using our money to spread the word. And we've got our gifts in our church for people to get popular and build a big church. God wants those gifts out, moving. Praise the Lord. So we have a responsibility. And so the bride is always building up the walls and building up the doors, building up the little sisters until they too, because see, all, till we all come. It's going to be a perfect church without spot or wrinkle, a perfect man, the measure of the stature, the fullness of Messiah. And God shall accomplish it, and we'll be one in God, and the world shall see the glory. But then we come back to men playing church. Solomon, what does it say? You see, verse 11. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. These are hirelings. Pastors that are hirelings. Everyone for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. These hirelings. No pride to it. Just the prophet's love give ye. And the people love to have it, so it's an abomination in the house of God. We don't preach for money. We're faithful unto death to Jesus. We give. We're not here to receive. We're here to give. See, that's all you'll find out of Solomon. And look how the Lord ignores this. He says, my vineyard is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000. In other words, to do anything, you've got to be paid. And your underlings must have 200. You can buy them. You can buy preachers. Sure, give them a church. They don't even pray. We'll give you, $1,000 a week. I'm coming. You can't do that with a man of God. You cannot do that. You can offer him $1 million a year. It matters not. You cannot hire. You cannot hire a man of God. You cannot hire him. If he takes your money, it's because he's doing the work of God, and God has commanded that those that preach the gospel shall live by the gospel. But you cannot hire him. And when he moves, he moves. Whether he moves to more money or less money is absolutely immaterial to a man of God. Is that what we see today? We see Solomon's. Here's my vineyard, Solomon. You've got to have 1,000 out of it. People work with you, you've got to have 200 out of it. But then he turns to the bride. Jesus does. He says, thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me, the Lord says, to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. See, that's the bride and her Lord. Solomon can keep his money and keep his big churches and keep the whole thing. There's a spiritual exodus going on. not physical, spiritual. And the bride is hearing, and she's climbing the secret place of the stairs, and she watches the money pass hands, and the Solomons run to and fro, and their underlings run to and fro, but she's in touch with the Lord, and he doesn't come as a theology professor. He comes skipping upon the mountains, like a young man, like a child, because he's full of joy. Hallelujah. Someday, saints, the church will be perfect, and God and Christ will enter into the church in their fullness. And then it will come down from the new heaven to be situated on a great and high mountain of the new earth. And there'll be no more need of the sun or the moon, because the nation shall walk in the light of it forever. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Lord, you're so wonderful that words fail us, Lord. Lord, do come to us, Lord, skipping upon the mountains of spices, Lord, not as just weighty doctrine, Lord, but as a young man full of life, and courage and hope and glory and salvation, Lord. And take us away with Thee, Lord, to the mountains of the leopards, to the mountains of spices. Oh, Jesus, we don't care about 1,000 shekels, and we don't care about 200, and we don't care about the whole business, Lord. We just care about You, Lord. Hallelujah. You're so wonderful, Lord. We don't see the churches, Lord. We see You. High and lifted up, in control of the world, in control of heaven, the very God of heaven flowing through your being and inviting us to be one with you upon the throne of glory. Oh, you're so wonderful, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do everything in our power, Lord, to serve you, that your church might be made one, that every one of your church, your elect, Lord, might know you from the least to the greatest, that those that are walls, Lord, will be made into battlements of silver, and those, Lord, who are doors will be enclosed in planks of cedar, that all shall know you, Lord, and all shall be made one in you, Lord, that the world may see the God of heaven in us, and seeing may believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you have loved us as the Father has loved you, He has loved us, and the glory which He has given you, you have given to us, that we may be made one, and that the world may believe, and beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. There'll be no more shrapnel in children and old people, hospitals filled with the screaming and the dying, children with bloated bellies, people vaunting themselves in inequity, professing to know Christ and knowing Him not at all for their 1,000 pieces of silver. Oh, Jesus, make haste, Lord, make haste, make haste. Hallelujah. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, upon the mountains of spices, that we may worship Thee, that we may give glory unto Thy name, that we may redeem the day in which we are living. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Avarakahandaralavakaha siliyaki siliyaravahaya. Tiliyaravahayaravakaha shiki siliyaravahandaralavaha siliyaravahaya. Hallelujah. 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 Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art worthy. Hallelujah. Without Him I can do nothing. Without Him I'd surely fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without
the same. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I am, to be like Him, all through life's journey. From earth to glory, all I ask to be like Him. For Jesus is the one, yes, He's the only. Let Him have His way until the day is done. When He speaks, you know, dark cloud will have to go, just because He loves. Shall we stand? Let's raise our arms to the Lord and just worship Him. Oh, let's worship Him. Ele aravahai aravakandaravahasi. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Thou hast prevailed, hallelujah. Thou art wonderful, O Lord, in Thy holy dwelling place. Thou art wonderful, O Lord. Thou art wonderful, O Lord. Thou art wonderful, O Lord. Ili arabahai arabakahandalalabahasi, ili arabahai arabakahasiriya. Kiri arabahai arabakahasiri arabahandalalabahasi. Eki siri arabahai arabakahasiri arabahandalalabahasiriya. Kiri arabahai arabakahasiri arabahandalalabahasiri arabahai. Thou art wonderful, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ili arabahai arabakahandalalabahasi. Oh, yes, Lord. 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 Praise Your holy name. Praise Your holy name. Praise Your holy name. Thou hast prevailed, Jesus, above Thine enemies, O Lord. Thou hast prevailed, O Lord, above Thine enemies. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. Kiri aravahandara lavahasi, iki siri aravahandara lavahasiriya. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Iri aravahandara lavahasiriya, iki siri aravahaya. Oh, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory. power and dominion belongeth unto thee. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Thou art worthy. Thou hast called us to thy throne, O Lord. Thou hast called us to the fullness of thy glory. Thou hast called us to be one with thee, O Lord. Oh, that we all might be one with thee, O Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Marvelous Savior. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. We are lifted up, O Lord, to reveal thy glory, O Lord. To show light and darkness, O Lord. To reveal the presence of Jesus in this world, O Lord. To be thy train, O Lord, that fills the temple. Oh, yes, Lord. To be one with thee, O Lord. As you are one with the Father. Oh, yes, Lord. Show thy life, O Lord. Iliarabai. Avarakahasi. Oh. Brother Dow, shall we have our sister come forward? She wanted her hands laid on.
With the big Philadelphia church there, we want to pray. God really bless you. Bless you. Amen. Make the ministry great.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Pray and love to the Lord for our sister.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Sweet Jesus. Tonight, Lord. The anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Come in a real, fresh, rich way. Let the anointing be rich, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Saying this is the way of walking. She will be in the rest of the
God.
Yes.
There'll be no disturbance. Now let it further and further sustain my mind. Father, in thy perfect grace, into the very heart of Christ.
Oh, yes.
That she may rest in flow of the blood of the God.
Hallelujah.
Protect the Lord by
Christ.
And I glory that she may
oh,
she may
yes.
know that she is in your will. That you are with
her. Praise the Lord.
She is your bearer.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Thank you.
Sister Peterson, would you pray?
Oh, Jesus, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
For your Heavenly Father. We thank you for your wonderful presence that was here, oh God.
Yes.
And we thank you for the word that went forth, dear Lord. May it live in our hearts, oh God. Oh, Father, we just love you this night, oh Jesus. And Father, we just sing your glory, and we don't dare to doubt when we pray anymore, Lord, because we see the
Hallelujah.
Moving of the mighty Holy Spirit,
glory.
Jesus. And
glory.
We stand on your word, dear
yes.
Jesus, and we stand on
yes.
your promises, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, Jesus,
Praise
for the mighty anointing here, Lord,
Praise the Lord.
On this service this
night. Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for your presence, oh yes. God. Oh, we thank you for the movement of the Holy Spirit, Lord, because we know, dear Jesus, when you sweep the land,
oh,
Lord,
yes.
that there is nothing that
yes.
can prevent this, Lord. And we
Hallelujah.
Put our trust only in you, oh God.
Lord.
We put our trust not in the arm of flesh or any such thing, Lord, but only in you, dear God. And we know that we can't
thank
fail,
you, Jesus.
Dear Jesus. Oh, Father, we
Glory.
Love you tonight above yes, everything, dear Jesus.
Glory
we want to surrender
Jesus.
Our lives, oh, to you, oh God,
yes.
that you can use us, Lord,
yes.
that you can use us, Jesus, because we want to help bring in the kingdom, Lord. We don't want anything, Lord, short of your glory, dear Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, we want to be completely
Hallelujah.
In your will, Lord. And we know that's a heart's cry of everyone
you,
here
Jesus.
In this room, dear Lord.
Praise
oh, God, anoint everyone
praise
in this room,
Lord.
Lord.
Yes,
dear
Lord.
We pray.
Oh,
hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah,
glory.
Jesus. God, we love you this night because of
hallelujah.
Your word, dear God.
You're
God,
wonderful.
We love you this night because
you're wonderful.
You are
hallelujah.
God.
You're
oh, we love you as King,
you're
dear
wonderful.
Jesus. We love you as a Savior, dear Jesus.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Love you, dear Lord,
yes,
with all of our hearts.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, just
yes,
give
Lord.
Us the
praise
strength,
Lord.
Dear Jesus,
yes,
to serve you forever.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Jesus, we just praise you.
Oh,
we love you.
Jesus.
Oh, Lord, we need prayer for you, dear Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And may they carry you within their heart, oh God,
yes.
to love, dear Jesus,
yes.
until that day.
Bless
we
the Lord.
Praise you and we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for your anointing.
Lord.
We thank you for your presence,
yes.
oh God.
Lord.
Oh, we love
yes.
you this night. And
Hallelujah.
Yes. And go forth in your word.
Yes. yes.
We love you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Yes. yes.
Praise your holy
praise
name, Lord.
Your
holy name.
Yes. Praise your
Glory must
unto thee, I
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Now shake hands. Be friendly. Shake Praise Sister Martha's hand. Please. For your. Amen. Shake your own hand because you're going to stay. Praise the Lord.
Shake Jim's hand.